That cannot be stopped by EPCA. The fact that fuel efficiency is a byproduct or a consequence does not negate the authority under the Clean Air Act. Under EPCA, there is a balancing, and EPCA can be fully realized and implemented by weighing and balancing many factors, one of which is the Clean Air Act standards themselves. So the Supreme Court itself and the text both call for a harmonization and giving full effect to the Clean Air Act. And in this case, California has its own piece of that Clean Air Act under the law. Now, the second point I want to talk about is the waiver itself. Expressly in legislative history, the word is narrow grounds for EPA to deny the waiver. Has to be very extraordinary. This would talk about, are there really compelling and extraordinary conditions? The auto companies want to say, well, California is no different than the rest of the country or the world. That issue has already been decided. The fact that similar conditions exist elsewhere does not negate California's authority under the law. If you go back to the legislative history, I think it's pretty interesting. Right in the legislative history itself, it made this quote, Senator Murphy convinced the committee that California's unique problems and pioneering efforts justified a waiver. Now, Senator Murphy was the California senator. He got into a legislative battle with John Dingell, and Dingell was trying to restrict the ability of EPA to grant a waiver. Senator Murphy wanted the broadest interpretation to make it as easy as possible for California to get a waiver. He won. It says so right here. The two points have to be should be acknowledged. One is the unique conditions of California, compelling conditions, the geography, the topology, the mountain ranges in Los Angeles that build up smog, the concentration of vehicles, the number of vehicles. All those conditions exist today. The other aspect, number two, because there's two prongs here, pioneering efforts. California is the pioneer, was and is. Legislative history talks about California leading the way, setting the pace, and thereby helping the rest of the nation. To me, it is impossible to conclude that a waiver could be denied under the legislative history, the Supreme Court rulings, and EPA's own decisions. I want to make one final point. It's a kind of a subtle one. I've had a bit of trouble grasping it myself. The compelling and extraordinary condition does not refer to the particular standard. It doesn't refer to California's emission greenhouse gas standards that are issuing this waiver. In the key decision on in 1984 on diesel particulates, Ruckelshaus, the administrator, said very clearly what is required to be compelling and unique are the conditions in California that, once found, justify the program that is different and separate and more stringent. So it is not, the findings here are not about the specific greenhouse gas standards. It's rather, does California continue in the state of its unique topology, its number of cars, their concentration? Is that true? And it certainly is true. Is California still in the pioneering, extraordinary role of pioneering new standards? Yes. If you say yes to both of those, then you've satisfied the compelling and extraordinary circumstance. And of course, the idea that this affects other people doesn't in any way negate or undermine that it's affecting California. One final point in support of this. In 1977, 2 years after EPCA was passed, Congress added the provision that other states could follow California's law, California's standard. Once you grant that waiver because of the continuing compelling extraordinary circumstance, then not only California can impose the regulation, but all the other states, which in this case are already 11 signed up. Those 11 states don't have to show you any extraordinary, any compelling need. They don't have to show you anything. It's automatic. And that really goes to the point that what is at issue in the law here is the unique historic situation in California, which once established, continues to justify the waiver unless there's some radical change in circumstances, which hasn't happened. It's just continuing exacerbation of the problem. And even to get specific, global warming will make worse all the criteria pollutants. So on every ground, California is justified, and as Susan Kennedy said, this is a legally required waiver. And I would just end by general statement. We've been told in the press that the national government will stand alone and reject all the other nations, the G8 countries, all the major developed countries in the world, gathered in Germany next week. America will stand alone fighting any timetable or target. I think in that context, it's particularly compelling, if not extraordinary, for the EPA, following the law, not the politics, not the person who appoints the administrator, but rather the law serving the people, to allow California and the 11 other states and many more to follow, actually to join the other nations of the G8 countries and take a stand for timetables and targets. Well thought out, it's scientifically, technologically based. This is a great opportunity for the EPA to reinvigorate its role as a champion in the protection